the summer of 1889, Harry Stevens jerked his leather jacket back off the hook, picked up his lunchbox, and left the Union Shack at the ironworks in Niles, Ohio. They said the trouble would go on another week at least. Some of the men hung around to talk about it, but Harry Moseley Stevens went to Columbus to look for work. After he got there, he decided to go to the ball game.
The ball game, Harry? We've hardly enough money for meals, no job, and you want to go to the ball game.
We've never seen a ball game, Mary. So many people go, it must be important.
It's just a silly game.
I know, honey, but the way we're feeling, maybe a silly game's just what we need.
But I can't tell what on earth it's all about.
Well, I think that chap with the club hits the ball and then tries to get to that cushion before those other chaps tag him.
Are you sure?
We'd better get one of these programs. Hey, you. Program here.
Here you are, mister. That'll be a dime. Program.
Now we'll see all about the game. Or will we now?
What's all that cheering about, Harry?
Don't know. Doesn't tell you anything on this blasted card.
And he charged a dime for that.
Yes, but that's one dime I'm going to get back. Hey, you. Hey, come here.
Yeah? Another program, buddy?
No, I want my dime back. This program tells you exactly nothing.
Oh, a smart guy, huh? Program ain't good enough for you, huh?
That's what I said. Now, give me back my money before I take a crack at it.
Hey, let go. Okay. You big stiff. Here's your money.
There. That's better.
If you're so smart, why don't you put out your own program, wise guy?
I couldn't do much worse. I'd at least put on the names of the players and the rules of the game.
Yeah. You'd do big things. If you've got such big ideas, why don't you buy this concession off me? I'll sell it cheap, just on account of guys like you.
You'll sell it? Cheap? Let's go someplace where we can talk.
Harry Stevens didn't know anything about baseball, but he learned enough to put out a better scorecard. It worked out much like the man had said, though. There was barely a living in it. That's why Stevens began to sell a line of soda pop on the side to make ends meet. During the hot summer months when the ball games were routine, soda pop went fairly well. But when the series grew exciting, Harry M. Stevens was in trouble.
Ice cold soda pop. Get your drinks here. Sarsaparilla, sir?
Nah, get out of the way. I can't see the game.
I collected the empties, Mr. Stevens. Most of them are half full. People pay for this stuff, then they don't drink it. Gee, it was a good inning, huh, Mr. Stevens?
Too good, Tommy. People won't drink. Takes their eyes off the game. Now, if we could fix it so they could drink pop and watch the game at the same time... I've got an idea, Tommy. You stay here. Soda pop with a straw. Keep your eyes on the game. Soda with a straw.
Hey, buddy, give me 2 sarsaparilla and 1 root beer.
Over here, Nick. 2 cherry phosphates and don't forget the straws.
Well, Harry M. Stevens had turned the tables. Soda pop with a straw sold so much better than plain pop that Harry had to hire 5 boys to help him. But suddenly there came one very cool day.
Hey, Mr. Stevens. They ain't buying. They just don't want the stuff.
Yeah, I know it, Tom. It's too cold.
It ain't that. They just ain't thirsty.
Tommy, you hit the heart of it. Now think hard now, lad. We've got just 5 innings to make them thirsty.
Peanuts. Fresh roasted peanuts here.
Here, bud.
Here you are, sir. Thank you. Peanuts. Fresh roasted peanuts here. Peanuts.
Cold drinks.
Sarsaparilla, root beer.
Hey, bud, 2 root beers.
2 root beers? Certainly, sir. There you are, sir. That'll be 10 cents.
There you are.
Thank you, sir.
Cold drinks. Orange. Sarsaparilla.
Fresh roasted peanuts here. Peanuts.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Peanuts. Fresh roasted peanuts here. Get your peanuts.
Sarsaparilla. Root beer.
Harry Stevens became so skilled at turning disaster into good business that by the end of that first summer, he could add ice cream to his line. Baseball season was about over, though, and Harry wanted to have one big week. He invested most of his profits in an extra heavy stock of ice cream. But when game time arrived, Harry Stevens' big dreams began to crumble down around his ears.
Ice cream! Ice cream! Ice cream for the lady, sir?
Oh, I don't want any, Mike. I'm frozen.
Say, you guys got anything hot?
Sorry, sir. Nothing hot. Everybody's frozen, Tommy. Yeah, we're licked, I guess.
Yeah, maybe we could get a refund on this stuff, huh, Mr. Stevens?
No. Now, when things go bust, Tommy, don't waste time sweeping up the little pieces. You've got to find some way to turn the whole blooming calamity to your favor. When the people are cold, they don't want anything cold.
Well, we can't serve them hot food like at a restaurant.
I don't know, Tommy. Maybe we could find something hot.
No use cooking any more frankfurters, Mr. Stevens. They won't buy them. The dames complain they get mustard all over their hands. They want dishes to put the frankfurters on, and they want forks to eat them with.
I should have known. Mary will never forgive me. I've gambled all the money on frankfurters, and I lost. Dishes they want. Dishes?
Hey, that's my lunchbox, Mr. Stevens.
Look, Tommy, this piece of bread. It makes a good plate for the frankfurter. No, wait a minute. Now, you wrap it around like this. Then the mustard and the frankfurter are inside. Pretty good,
Yeah. Hey, gee.
Tommy, go back to town, get 5 dozen loaves of bread, and hurry.
Yeah. Hey. What about the money?
Tell them Harry Stevens needs some credit. Hurry up. I'll be cooking more franks.
Well, that was something new, a frankfurter wrapped up in a slice of bread. Harry Stevens sent Tommy back for bread 3 times that afternoon. He'd never seen anything sell like that before. When the baseball season was over in Columbus, Harry Stevens went back to Niles, Ohio, for the winter as an iron puddler. But he began to hear about a place where tens of thousands of people congregated every week, the Polo Grounds in New York City. So in the summer of 1900, Harry Stevens took himself and his little wife, Mary, to New York City. He got a concession license at the Polo Grounds. One day, there sauntered into the Polo Grounds the famous cartoonist, Tad Dorgan. And it just happened that he bought one of Harry Stevens' frankfurters in a roll, and, well...
Harry, have you seen the Daily News? Some man's making fun of our business. He's got caricatures of you and your frankfurters.
Let me see that paper.
He's made the frankfurter look like a dachshund in a bun. Well, aren't you put out? He's ridiculing us.
Mary, haven't you noticed how it's been with us? Every hard knock has turned into good luck. Come on.
Where?
I'm going to buy 100 copies of that newspaper.
Well, next day at the Polo Grounds, Harry Stevens had the cartoons nailed up on every post.
Get your red-hot dachshunds on a roll. Red-hot dogs, get your red-hot dogs right here.
Hey, buddy, 2 over here with mustard.
Hey, look, there's that guy with the whatchamacallits, the hot dogs, like in the paper. Hey, 2 over here, bud.
Hey, we were next. Why don't you put on some more help?
Stevens quickly set up a hot dog booth at Madison Square Garden and at every sports arena he could find. He built a concession company on the hot dog business with the slogan, Harry Stevens Hot Dog Kennels from the Hudson to the Rio Grande. Hot dog stands sprung up at every crossroads. The Waldorf served them with sauerkraut. Back Bay Boston served them with beans. The big hotels tried to call them cocktail sausages. The Packers tried to call them frankfurters. But it was no go. They remained just plain hot dogs. And last year, America ate $315 million worth of them. 76 9/10 hot dogs per man, woman, and child in the USA. Harry Moseley Stevens was only trying to turn a bad break into a good one on that cold day in Columbus when he invented the hot dog, which only goes to prove once more that you never know where a good man and a good idea will end up. In the Ohio Story.